Well, if you'd open your Bible to Proverbs 7, we continue our study here. And as we've been doing, we're going to look at an American proverb here. This is the American proverb for today. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You've heard it before. What in the world does that mean? Well, it means that children take after their parents. Let me tell you a story here. Well, Mr. West, this rash is nothing serious. Just apply this ointment and it should be gone in a few days. Thanks, doctor. By the way, how is your son doing? Great. He's in his second year of medical school and doing quite well. Ah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So it seems. Actually, I'm very proud of him. He says that he wants to specialize in heart surgery. Well, that's ambitious. I'm sure you're pleased that your son is following in your footsteps by going into medicine. Yes, that makes me happy. He should make a fine surgeon. And so that's what is seen. And the prayer of the writer of Proverbs was that his son would follow the words, not necessarily what he's doing sometimes, because we know what we saw in Solomon's life, but that he'd follow this wisdom that God is giving him. So look at chapter 7 with me. And once again, there's warnings against the adulteress and the prostitute, and that's the subject of these chapters. So he's saying, first of all, receive my words and live. Look at verse 1 with me. My son, there we go again, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. So once again, there's that familial thing with my son being addressed. Look at verse 2. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. That apple of your eye, that's an expression that refers to the pupil of the eye, which, because it's the source of sight, needs to be carefully protected. The son is to guard and protect his father's teachings because they give him spiritual and moral sight. Verse 3. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. So that call is to give truth of this wisdom that is divine wisdom. It's place it permanently in the mind and in conduct. Bind them tightly. Verse 4, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend. And so wisdom is once again personified as a woman, and it's called a sister and an intimate friend, somebody that comes alongside you, somebody, something that you care about, that you protect. Verse 5, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. And so that one that's making those flattering words, and what is going to happen with that is it's going to make your path slippery, and you don't want to go there. And so now he's saying, repeat or reject my words and die. If you reject them, then there's going to be a bad ending to that. Look at verse 6. For at the window of my house, now he's going to paint a picture here, I have looked out through my lattice. So this drama of seduction that was done by the adulteress, we saw that in verse 5, and now it's going to unfold. And it's described from the viewpoint of one who is watching from a window. And look at this. We look out, and this will be seen, verse 7, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense. And so the simple one is untaught, they're inexperienced, they're gullible, they're easily swayed because they lack discernment. Verse 8, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house. So that path is against the advice that we saw earlier in chapter 4. He puts himself right in the middle of the harlot's place, and we are called to flee immorality. We see that in 1 Corinthians 6:18, and that starts by not being in even the neighborhood. Don't go there at night. Don't go places that you know are going to end up being places that will bring you down. Verse 9, in the twilight, look at this, these steps down, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And so each time, list, we move farther and farther into darkness. Verse 10, and behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. Wily of heart is, it's things are hidden. This is an unfair contrast between the simple young man who lacks wisdom, he's void of the truth, and that evil woman who knows her goal, but she hides her true intentions. Verse 11 and 12. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. These verses, they break the narrative to describe the woman's modes of operation, and it leads her to successful seduction of this simple man. She saw him coming. Verse 13. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him. Now we're going to see it in a moment, but she sees it. The root word is to be strong with a bold face. She hardens her face, and that kiss just knocks him down. Verse 14. I had to offer sacrifices, and today I've paid my vows. And so now she's making religious sayings, and she's talking about this meat left over after the sacrifice. It's to be eaten before the end of the day. And so she appears very spiritual. She's making an invitation that this person join her because she had made her offering and is bringing him the meat that must be eaten. So she makes it sound spiritual. And sometimes this will be what happens. You could be in a place that seems to be a good place, and if a woman has these intentions or a man has these intentions, it could lead to something bad. Verse 15, so now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. So it's already night. The meat has to be consumed. It can't be left for morning. And you got this hypocrisy going on about ceremonial law, but there's seduction going on, and it's actually going to violate God's law, his moral law. Verses 16 and 17, I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. So this Egyptian linen, this is a sign of wealth. And she's soliciting, and she's being very direct. And she's describing the comfort of her bed with its aromatic spices. Verse 18, come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. This is adultery. This isn't true love, but it's physical gratification. Verses 19 and 20, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. So she gives the simple man the assurance that there's no fear of discovery of their act. And since her husband has taken a large sum of cash because he needed that, he's going to be away for a while. And literally a full moon returning. And she knows the set time and not before. So she's watched the pattern of her husband, and she's working off of that. Verse 21, with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. And so she's got the location and the time and the setting, and now the seduction is easy. Verse 22, all at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast. So ignorant of that real danger, and it seems to be incapable of resistance, he quietly just succumbs. He's like a beast that's going to be butchered, or a stag that's caught in a trap. Verse 23, till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, He does not know that it will cost him his life. It refers to a mortal wound, as the liver represents the seat of life and the bird is snared to be eaten. Verse 24, "And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth." This application, there's appropriate application. The drama is made in the admonition of these verses to avoid her deadly seduction. Verse 25, "Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths." So we've got some imperatives. They're given. Don't bend to her ways. Don't stray into her paths. Verse 26, "For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng." It's not just weak people who fall, but strong people. They're in the wrong place. They're there at the wrong time with wrong thoughts for the wrong reasons. And lastly, verse 27, "Her house is the way to Sheol," or death, or hell, going down to the chambers of death. Solomon describes the acts of sensuality. It's not just to the doorway of death, but downward into death.